Ed are doing a couple things up here. I would like to give the microphone over to Peter to make some announcements. There you go. It's okay. On.
Basically, I'd like to encourage people to buy. We still have all the meal tickets available, so please pass the word along.
Thank you.
We have, for Friday, we have the membership, no, the women's.
Women's networking breakfast.
Women's networking breakfast, the Kahlua luncheon, the AMC luncheon, the president's dinner. For Saturday, we have the membership breakfast, the guide dog users luncheon, OCB luncheon, RSVC luncheon, and the banquet. And during the, we'll be providing Cokes and juice, sodas and juice during the Friday afternoon general session, the Friday evening general session, and the Saturday afternoon session. And during the banquet, each person will receive a glass of red or white wine in addition to their meal. So, and also, I'd like to encourage people to stop by the exhibit room, which is in the Santa Fe ballrooms, which is in the lower level. Exhibits are open from Friday from 9 a.m. to 4:30, and on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. 2:30 p.m. Excuse me. Thank you. Oh, and also, please remember to pick up after your dog in the relieving area. It is looking disgusting at this time, and it's early in the convention. So please be sure to pick up after your dog.
Okay. And we also, again, just another reminder, we have... for everyone who is wearing their badge, we encourage you to wear your badge throughout the hotel, and especially when you go into the restaurant. For our convention attendees only, they will give in the restaurant a 25% discount on your order in the restaurant. So please feel free, and yes, every single day while we're here.
Donna,
absolutely.
May I make another announcement?
So, yes, please wear your badge. And Peter just went, oh, yeah. So go ahead, Peter.
Basically, I'd like to encourage people to help support the hospitalities room. It's in the Coronado's downstairs in the lower level. Tonight they'll be open from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Tomorrow night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. and on Saturday from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. So let's help support one of the San Diego chapters by patronizing the hospitality room.
Yes. Yes, thank you. All right. The next item on our agenda is public comment. So if anyone has any public comment, please stand. And if you're able to, come to the center aisle. Or if you stand, Ed can also come to you as well. It's a small group, he said. So go ahead and stand. And what we'll need you to do before you make your comment, state your name and where you're from. And please feel free to make your comments. Any public comment at this time?
Nobody standing.
No public comment. I know. One of our board members said, oh, it was when you said, say your name, that they said, oh, no, maybe not. Okay. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the September 22nd, 2013 board meeting.
I'll make a motion that we accept the September 22nd board minutes as sent to us.
Lena
seconded.
Madam President, I do have one comment or one question. Is that the as originally sent out or as the amended?
As amended with Vince in attendance. Yeah, Vince, that was the only. So do we have any discussion? Was Vince really there? He was at the welcome party, after all. Okay. So, yes, as amended, and the amendment was that Vince was in attendance. Okay, and we had a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. We now come to the item in our agenda, the Mutt Strutt Report. And this report will be given by Gita Jackson, who was the statewide coordinator who was hired to oversee the three regions as well. And she'll be participating by phone. But Gita will be here at the convention on Saturday, and she'll share in the banquet with us, too, so folks will get to meet her in person as well. And our treasurer, Peter Pardini, and myself will help give the report. So how shall we do this, sir?
I suggest that we have Gita
do it.
Gita will start?
Gita will start.
Okay. Folks, do you have her ready? No, Gita was not at the welcome party. Not even online. I see a theme happening here. Oy, oy, oy. All right. Chuckle, chuckle. Guys are getting Gita online. Peter gave them her telephone number. We had Mutt Strutts in three regions. When you get her online, let me know and I'll be quiet. We had Mutt Strutts in three regions, and Peter, the only thing that I didn't see from you were the final first giving numbers to announce who the top dogs were.
I thought that was Saturday.
I can't give you numbers, but I know the people are.
Perfect. Gita's on?
Yes.
Whoa, yay!
Hello!
Woof, woof to Gita. That's what Peter said. Okay, Gita, welcome. Yeah. And we're going to go ahead and have you start and share a bit, give your portion of the report, and then Peter will give his portion, and I'll share at the end, although my guess is that both of you will probably have covered everything. So, everyone, please welcome Gita Jackson.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, thank you. Well, I'm glad to be here. It's so nice to be able to have something great to talk about. We had a wonderful, wonderful event this year. It couldn't have gone better, and I'm going to explain exactly why it couldn't have gotten better. But when I was first hired, it was to help people with their venues, the timing companies, and I was lucky enough to meet incredible, incredible people. It was a learning experience, and I think everybody handled it with great aplomb, I should say. There were some issues that I dealt with. I was glad to be around for it. I know that San Diego had an issue during the holidays. The chair was out of town, and since the proposal was due on early January, we both, her and I, tried very hard to get the venue together, and it just didn't work out. So it was a brainstorming situation. However, it didn't work out. Hopefully this year it will. Also, there was in Sacramento, we had a timing company that everybody had agreed upon. And I received a call from the chair, and he was ready to turn around and walk away because the timing company, they bailed on us because he had issues with personal issues. So the chair and I talked about it. We brainstormed about it. We were able to get another timing company, which everybody really liked. And so it worked out great because Sacramento got the most participants. So there you have it. It was a great way to offer help in a nice way. And then also for Los Angeles, we had issues also with the venue. And we started out in two or three different venues, and we had to finally change it after the proposal was approved. We did find the venue eventually in Crescenta Valley Park in La Crescenta. Wonderful place. They gave us a huge hello and welcome, and we got nothing but super, super support from them. And so it was great for the community. The numbers, we have to work on those. But basically, Los Angeles brought in 70 people. Sacramento had 74 participants, and San Francisco had 38 participants. Now, the volunteers, it was just phenomenal. Los Angeles had 120 volunteers. Sacramento had 100, and San Francisco had 50 volunteers. So with all that involved, we had people that were very involved and very proud to be doing what we were doing, and everybody understood what a huge fundraising success this can be, and during the years to come it will be, because you start at the beginning just growing, so you're in growing pains as we speak. We were able to get a ticket from Southwest Airlines, where we were able to make over $3,200, and that was very, very exciting. We were able to get Dodger baseball tickets for a raffle. We were able to get Sports Authority coupons throughout the state. They were very, 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 very wonderful people. He wanted to make sure that we had the coupons that would be the furthest expiration date, and he took care of us very well. We had a Panera Bread for Los Angeles, and next year we're going to try to do Panera as a state sponsor. And then also, too, one of the main things that we discussed on our calls was outreaching to various calendar events and running calendars. With that being said, I touched base with approximately 35. This was a big help simply because now, as of last year, people did not know who California Council of the Blind was. As of this year, a lot more people know. And we want to make that more and more each year. And so we did that with calendar events and running clubs. I was able to touch base with newspapers in each region, sending a PSA and a press release, not only with the main papers, the LA Times, the Sacramento Bee, and the San Francisco paper, but also with the smaller community papers. So they were able to put in their papers that, the Mudstruts coming to town, this is what we've got. also, radio and TV appearances. Well, actually, we really didn't have a TV appearance, but we did have radio. Ken and Donna were able to have a interview with our program, with a radio station here called The Sound, which is a classic radio station, and then also with KPFK in Pasadena. Ken did that twice. And then also Frank had a interview in San Francisco. And then we were very lucky in Sacramento because their MC worked for the television station. So she was, not only was she an MC, but she also ran, and she was all dressed up in her little shorts and her little headband and her shirt, and she had a little speech on the news, so we were able to be there. So that was a lot of fun. It was a great little segment. We also have to do, there was also touching base with radio stations, and that was about 25 to 30 as well. And we wanted to send PSA and press releases to them. A lot of them this year were asked for like 6 weeks ahead of time, so that's one issue that we'll basically address next year. Race Place advertising, pretty much the only advertising we did this year was the Race Place magazine, which is a main running calendar throughout Southern California as well as Northern California. So we were able to list our mud strut on all three regions. Next year, hopefully, we'll be able to get a few more online sites, and that's what I'm doing right now, is working on finding out the costs and the prices to see if it would be even worthwhile. We had restaurant fundraisers. We had three restaurants in L.A., Sacramento, and San Francisco, and I don't know the total amount. I'm still waiting to hear, but I would say it's probably between $200 and $300, and so that was just a little bit of money. And I wanted to bring up the proposals that I sent out for statewide that were not funded, but they will be readdressed in 2014. And these are only half of the ones that I've done. I just didn't want to bore anybody. For example, we did Coca-Cola, Walmart, Honda, Wells Fargo, Alaska Airlines, Toyota, Arrowhead, Kmart, and then the basic Target, Snapple, Costco. We did discover that some of these areas, for example, Costco and Trader Joe's, do not have a statewide sponsor, but they do have individuals. So we were able to get some stuff from them. Well, that was pretty great. Petco and PetSmart. Petco did send us an approval for the second step in their proposal program. Well, we found out that it's mostly an adoption, pet adoption, or pet vaccinations. So, as was brought up at the very beginning of the year of last year, was maybe in 2 or 3 years we can have a pet adoption at our mud struts. I think we have to focus now on building participants, but nothing should be, you know, discarded at this point. One of the main things for the whole mud strut is that the community involvement was phenomenal. People welcomed us into their community. They wanted to learn more about us. Public relations went a long way. People are finally hearing about CCB, and they're so excited to know more. We had great connections with the press because they were excited of the fact that we had three events taking place in one day. So everybody, every chair, every member did a fantastic job. And as I mentioned previously, it was a learning experience, and so we were like taking baby steps. And I think now that we're more confident, we can move into bigger steps. I wanted to talk about my goals for 2014. But first of all, I wanted to throw out some facts here. 80 years ago next year, in January of 1934, the Loch Ness Monster was sighted for the first time. In May of 1934, Shirley Temple appeared in her first movie. In July of 1934, Continental started flying. But the most important thing that happened in 1934 was the start of California Council of the Blind. And we're turning 80 years old. How exciting. I love birthday parties. I love birthdays. So I think that what we're going to have next year is going to be so exciting. Because, let's face it, it's great to hit 80. And one of the things that I'm going to do is that I have on my list of things that I wanted to approach for next year is I was going to retry all of the above companies that I mentioned to get to sponsorships and state sponsorships. And I want to approach different airlines earlier because now that Southwest has given us a nod and has helped us so greatly, I feel that American, JetBlue, Alaska, and Continental hopefully will be able to offer us tickets as well, which would make our sweepstakes that much more exciting. So we are going to be working on the Facebook earlier next year. I want to see about adding to the advertising budget. I don't think a whole lot, but just as I mentioned, like online calendars, and so we can basically be focused on certain areas. And I'm going to try about seeing having donations. I mean, there should be no reason why, as us, and we have such amazing go-getters, to be able to have to pay for anything, except for maybe the porta-potties and the tables and chairs. But I think everything else we should focus on getting a donation. And as I said, everybody did a great job this year. The use of the volunteer, one of the things that we discussed was that prior to the event, we need to have outreach on our volunteer. And one of the things that this would be for would be they would be obtaining donations. They would be able to help us with public relations. They could also help with the transportation. And one of the things that I have not discussed with anybody, but I was doing some math, is that basically if we could have volunteers and maybe somebody from the California Council of the Blind go with our volunteers to hand out flyers at the vets, at the pet stores, we can actually sign people up and right there. So we could talk them into it, whether it's credit card or check. That's one of the things that I'm going to be talking to the chair about. But if we could get 400 registrants per region, that would be $12,000 per region. So $36,000, and that would be, it would be awesome. It would be take care of the timing companies, the T-shirts, the other incidentals like porta-potties and tables and chairs. And if we can do it, to make it $30, and then the day of the event would be $35, which is not asking for the moon. We're going to be contacting local cable stations so they can film our event and then put it on their station. We want to enhance, get more support from the timing companies, help us get the word out, and as well as we're going to ask them to be on a phone call with us once a month so we can keep up to date on what's happening, and keep the conversation flowing. We'll be contacting running clubs. I'll be contacting dog groups. And I also wanted to put this out really quickly that I think that if the board has any contacts that they know that might be able to support us, please do not hesitate to let me know. That is my job. I would be glad to approach these people and let them know on your behalf. And we really need to encourage the help and support from all board members. And we need to urge them to continue the Mud Strut. It's a fabulous event. Everybody's learning who we are, in particular next year because we're going to have a party. But everybody needs to be a part of Mud Strut in order for it to be successful. And I can see nothing but success on the horizon. And it's very, very exciting. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Now, Gita is going to also be back in person on Saturday to moderate a panel about the Mutt Strut. But I would like to know if anyone has any questions of Gita at this time. Board members. Sorry. Okay, Vince has a question for Gita. Gita, are you able to hear when we speak?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay. Vince Calderon, one of our board members, is going to ask you a question. So.
Okay.
All right. Good evening. My question is, with the three regions, has there been a statewide call or meeting with all three of the regions to go over what happened, and this is based on what your report is now, or is this the things that you have come up with?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Did we meet now for next year?
Right. Did you meet with all of the regions, the chairs, to go over what happened this year of what?
Yes, we did.
You did?
Yes, we did. We had a debriefing session. We discussed what our what the positives the positives were. I don't believe that we had anything really negative. It was just learning. So we got to learn a lot. So we didn't really say it as a mistake. We were able to say, just move it into a different area. So yes, we talked about it, and everybody seems to be on the same page that there are certain areas that we can, you know, expand on.
Okay.
Is that it?
Any other questions from board members? Okay. And as Gita did share, we did have a debrief with all three region chairs, and we definitely had a wonderful event in all three regions. I'm going to let Gita go now for her portion. I know Peter and I are going to share, since you're not able to hear very well, you know, Gita, I'm going to go ahead and let you go at this point. But we are all looking forward to meeting you personally when you come in on Saturday. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Gita. Appreciate it.
Okay, Peter, I'll go ahead and give it over to you for your portion of the report.
Thank you, Donna. I'll just go ahead and read the income and expense report for the third annual Mutt Strut. This is for the period of January 1st to October 8th, 2013. For the Los Angeles region, we had income in the amount of $6,576, expenses in the amount of $7,808. The difference between income and expense is a negative $1,281, for the Sacramento region. We had income in the amount of $6,229, expenses $10,396, a difference of negative $4,388. For the San Francisco region, we had income in the amount of $7,482, expenses in the amount of $10,758, which is a difference of $3,276. On our sweepstakes, as Gita stated, we raised $3,298, and there were no expenses regarding that. So our total income for all three regions plus the sweepstakes was an amazing $23,586. Our expenses were $28,963, leaving a difference of -$5,376. This report does not include income from that we have not received yet, but we should get it next week from the Westfield Mall in the amount of $2,500, plus the West Covina Lions Club. They're in the process of sending us a check, another check for $500. And I just happened to remember this. Our expenses for the San Francisco region was overstated by $1,000 because we had to put a $1,000 security deposit, and we'll get that back. That'll be happening next week. And let me run through our top dogs for the region. For the Sacramento region, it was Elena Thomason and Tahoe. For the LA region, it was Donna Pomerantz in memory of Scotch. And for the San Francisco region, it was Vita Savoli with Violet.
And actually, Mr. Treasurer, if I might, the top dog was actually my sister, Debbie Cordero. Uh-oh. And Scotch Pomerantz, she says, is her nephew. So she wishes to have it in memory of Scotch Pomerantz as well. So that was very, very thoughtful. Everyone did a wonderful job. As Peter shared, folks, LA is still waiting for the $2,500 from Westfield and the $500 from West Covina Lions Club. What I wish to share with folks is it was an awesome, awesome event this year. For the first time, all three regions implemented the use of a professional timing company. So we had runners and walkers there that knew nothing about CCB, but they sure learned about us through participating in the timed run/walk. And I think that every region has built and created even more friendships in this year. I know that I've heard from Sacramento that they have folks who said they're coming back next year. San Francisco has folks who have shared that they participated last year and participated this year and want to come back next year. LA has had the same. The regions partnered, and this is very exciting as well, the partnerships that have been developed and formed. The regions partnered with Lions Clubs. I know that, and I can't remember the Lions Club in Sacramento that assisted in a major way with the pancake breakfast that you guys did that day as well. But they had wonderful support from Lions Club. Los Angeles had the West Covina Lions Club donate a total of $1,000 to that region. And we in Los Angeles also had the Pasadena Host Lions Club that had their Leos participate in the day. So they got to know CCB and its members, and they worked as volunteers. They also had someone from their Lions Club open up a First Giving page, and they solicited sponsors. And this lion ran the race in memory of his mother, who became blind. And there were the president of that club and his wife actually partnered with Mitch and myself, so that day with the walk. They were our guides. So I think there were so many more partnerships that I could share that were developed in all three regions. It sounds like each region is happy with the venue that they picked. I think that that is a huge milestone that each region reached as well with their venue, because as a committee, as a community gets to know you, they continue to embrace you and participate each year. Jeff shared with me, he was the chair of the San Francisco region, that Sacramento region. He said that the Citrus Heights community did a wonderful piece on Muttstrat in their paper. So there are wonderful community partnerships that are being formed. And this is one of the things that you, the membership, have also said to us, is that, yes, we need to do fundraisers, but we need to reach beyond our small community, our small and close community. And I truly believe that each region has done a great job and really hit a milestone this year in implementing several things. And it can only improve and get better each year. So, Peter, I don't know if you had anything to add or if any board members have any other questions or anything they wish to share. A gentleman on the right, and then Roger. Whoever was on the right first.
And then Gene.
Was that Gene?
Yes.
Okay, Gene.
Is it on now?
Yes.
Okay. One thing I wanted to also add to, about the Sacramento is that we were successful. Jeff did it. He pulled it together, and that was bringing in the elected officials. We had an assemblyman who was actually came and stayed around for a while and talk to some of the participants. I know he even took a picture of my wife and I's, our dog, Maddie. But he was there, very interested in it, and that's something, I think it's another way of the legislators seeing us in a different light. And that's something I would encourage more development of that. And that may have occurred in the other two regions, but I think this is another way for them to see us in a different perspective. And I don't want to take anything away from the committees and the three regions who did an exceptional job, but I really feel what success we had, a lot of it has to be giving credit to Gita. She did an incredible job pulling together things and being a good mediator and negotiating and pulling things together, and I think that's one of the reasons we had so great of a success this time. Thank you.
Thank you. I know Los Angeles had an assembly member present who gave a proclamation that the next time I go to the Sacramento office, I need to bring it over there so that we can have it there. Los Angeles also had an assembly member who, by the way, Jeff, said that if there's ever any assistance that we need in the legislative area, that he would be more than willing to talk to you as our chair of governmental affairs. So we made a good friend that day as well, so that's good to hear. Anything else from board members?
I believe I was next.
Roger.
And then Judy.
So we'll do Roger first.
From the point of view of someone who was relatively little involved in the Muttstrat, although I did what I thought I could at the time, It seems to me, you know, you can say how well it went off and everything, but the first 2 years we came out a little bit ahead, and this year we actually lost money. How are we supposed to think about that? Is this sort of one of those things where you have to step back and haul off and shift into a new gear and all that sort of thing, and like by losing money this year, we're going to make even more from now on, or how should we take this?
That is a very good question, and Roger, what I will share with you is what professional fundraisers have shared with me from the very beginning. You know, since we started this in 2011. And yes, you're correct in exactly what you said. We did not make the profit that we made in the previous 2 years. As Peter said, the income that we made was $23,500
roughly.
We spent $28,000 roughly. What we did this year, two things are significant. We hired a statewide coordinator to work on this with us part-time. And as Jean and Peter and Jeff and others have stated, well, I'll say all region chairs have stated, what she was a huge report, a huge, huge support. And she stated some of the things that took place this year that really hit groups hard. If you remember last year, LA was not able to have a Mutt Strut. They needed to cancel due to something beyond their control that hit them very hard. No one had to do that this year. And what I will say is what hit two of the regions this year was pretty substantial. And both chairs of those regions will say that there was a huge support, and the regions really bounced back from that. So the statewide coordinator is one thing that we have done across the board that was not done in year one or year two. We had a volunteer coordinator. The second thing that we did is we hired timing companies across the board. All three regions had professional timing companies. And so that was an added expense as well. What professional fundraisers have shared with me, and I have shared this with my board, is that for the first 3 to 5 years of doing an event of this magnitude, don't expect to break even. Expect to have loss. If you do this event and put out the amount of money that needs to be put out to put on an event of this magnitude, expect to even lose money for the first 3 to 5 years. Because there are a number of things that need to be built. And I know that folks see, you know, the $5,000 loss And Roger is right. It's a negative on $5,000. But I'm excited because I see this as the first year that we are working this event as close to what it needs to be to really bounce off. Each region, I'm very excited about the possibilities if they choose to submit bids for next year. I know that, you know, folks have said, well, it's been difficult and, you know, so on and so forth. We don't have the skills, et cetera, et cetera. But this group has all done a wonderful, wonderful job. And next year, I am very excited because we turn 80. And we, I truly believe, have crossed a milestone this year. So those are two huge expenses, Roger, that we incurred this year across the board that we didn't incur in previous years. So that would be my closest answer to your question. Judy.
Thank you. I have several things to say. First is, I think many of you know I've been often outspoken in what might be considered negative statements about Muttstrut. And ironically, that is mainly because I love this damn event so much. I wouldn't have raised $1,000 if on my first giving page, give or take a few dollars, if I really didn't have an amazing vision for this event. And it's always hard when we lose money to think, how can this be good? But I really am committed to the fact that this organization must spend money to grow, because otherwise we just have no other choice. We must spend some money to grow. We may have to think about how we declare. We may not want to put so much profit in our budget. We may need to be a lot more realistic about what we think we can raise, and then we'll be surprised if it's a lot more. But the point is, it really is an event that has amazing potential to grow. There's another proverb, however, which says if you keep doing the same thing in the same way, you can't expect different results. And I do think we need to look very carefully, examine all of our statistics every which way till Sunday to figure out what worked, what didn't, what needs to be changed next year. And that's true of any event, and we need to find ways to measure our outcomes. But I want to clearly state that I really think this event has the potential to, in future years, and it may not be next year, it may not be the year after, but in future years, to really provide a way ahead financially for this organization.
Thank you. I was reminded by a very, very wise board member who's over here on my left side. Who might that be? That might be artists. Thank you for keeping me on task. Artists also reminded me to remind all of you on this board and in the audience today listening to this that we are still waiting for $3,000 that will be coming within the next week to 2 weeks. Over four?
When you have this.
Oh. $3,000 guaranteed. Jeff is saying possibly even close to four.
Well, when you add the security.
When the restaurant and the security,
deposit. Yeah, and the restaurant money that I think I know Sacramento and L.A. have out, and maybe San Francisco.
Right.
It's going to be a little over four, I think.
Absolutely. You're right. So we definitely need to keep that in mind. We also definitely need to keep in mind that the two things that we are not doing the same this year, is we hired a statewide coordinator, and we had timing companies across the board. So, folks, we're already moving that way, and thank you so much for mentioning that.
And besides, all the conventioners can buy all the paraphernalia that we're selling at the convention.
Well, oh, yeah. Yes, we do have. Thank you, Roger, Mr. Second Vice President. Come to our booth and buy the chill mats and these cute little doggy bones that have doggy poop bags in them that you could clip onto the doggy's harness, and mutt strut T-shirts, and all kinds of good things. Those were as a result of a generous donation from someone in L.A. who we thought we were going to go and pick up a couple of boxes from this outlet. So the committee member had someone drive them there, and they said, oh, yeah, the boxes will fit in a back seat. And they drove there, and there was a whole pallet of stuff that they gifted to L.A. So we are now sharing it with all of you up here, you know, what we didn't give away. So any other questions or thoughts from board members? Okay, Peter, any final words?
None.
Okay, Artis.
I'll make a motion to accept the Mutt Strut report.
Second.
Robert seconded, and some other man over there. Gene. Gene and Robert seconded. All right. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is the Publications Committee report. So I would love to get a microphone over to... Treasurer's report.
Yes, report. We're in such good shape. Yeah.
You know, I was trying to forget the whole Treasurer's report. Vince says, wow. Vince is the chair of finance and budget. That's why he said, wow. Mr. Treasurer, apologies.
Thank you. It is yours. Thank you very much, Donna. Basically, the first document, I'm not going to read it. The first document is the report on CDs, brokerage, and checking accounts as of August 31st, 2013. I'm not going to read this report. Are there any questions from the board of directors?
Hearing none. Next one.
Hearing the next report is the balance sheet as of August 31st, 2013. I'll just read a couple figures. Our total assets are $1,062,430. Our liabilities are total liabilities negative $4,692.59. Negative $4,692. And our total equity and liabilities are $1,062,430. Are there any questions regarding the balance sheet?
Any questions from the board on the balance sheet?
Peter, this is Gabe. Can you explain what that means? I guess I'm just a little confused. When you say negative liability of $4,692, I think it was. What exactly does that mean, just in a, can you sum it up just in 30 seconds or so?
That's in regards to the funds that we still owe the CEA account. That's the reason for the liability.
All right, thank you.
And for those in the audience, the CEA is the California Committee on Employment Assistance. That's it. Yeah, some Pomerantz guy is chair of that. If he was in the audience, you'd hear him right now.
The next report is the income statement, a previous year comparison for the period January 1st to October 31st, 2013 and 2012. Our total income for the period January to August is $12,515 and $112,515. Yeah. The total income for the period January 1st
to
August 31st, 2012 is $84,184. And the difference between those two figures is $28,332.
Peter, what was that number, 84,000 what?
The August 2012 figure was $84,184. The difference between the two figures is $28,332. Our total expenses for the period ending August 31st, 2013 was $158,928. For the same period in 2012, it was $142,450, a difference of $15,478. Our net ordinary income for the period ending August 31st, 2013 is negative $45,413. For the period ending 2012, it was negative $58,266, a difference of $12,854. Our total other income was $32,470. $32,780 for the period ending in 2013. For the same period ending in 2012, it was $57,439, leaving a difference of $24,659. Our net income for the period ending August 31st, 2013 was a negative $12,633. In 2012, it was a negative $827, leaving a difference of $11,806. $806. And that concludes the income statement previous year comparison. Are there any questions?
Madam President,
I'll be after her.
Judy, and then I think it was Jeff, right? Judy first.
Peter, for those of us who are just mathematically totally brain challenged, is it that we are down $45,000 so far this year, and we were down $58,000 last year? Because I realize there's four more. You know, this is only through August. But have I got that in essence right?
Yes, that's
correct. You know me. Look at the
Judy. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, I got one.
Jeff.
Peter, what did we? What was our bottom line for last year, if you can recall? And do you think we'll be close to that this year? I mean, we've managed to do a pretty good job of keeping expenses down.
Yeah, we have. I mean,
well, I mean, we, you know, the hardest part of maintaining our budget is keeping expenses down. You know, we don't have control over our income very much, but we do have some control over our expenses, and we've managed to do a pretty good job of holding the line. We're down on other income this year, which is the principal reason that our assets are, you know, a little bit down from last year in that sense. That's why our income statement is down by more, because our other income is down. But we also lose money at the end of the year. Our first 6 months is our best 6 months in terms of our income stream. So I'm just wondering to know from Peter what last year was.
Basically, we're down. Our expenses were greater than our income for the period ending in 2013 by $12,633. Basically, we expended more income. I mean, we had more expenses than income in the amount of $12,633.
And so last year, what did we do? Because I'm assuming that that's going to point us in the direction of where we're going to go.
We did the difference was only $827.
No, I'm in the whole year. Because, you know, we lose money in the last few months, so I'm wondering what we were doing last year, because that may point us. If you don't have it, then
I don't have that figure available, Jeff, but
okay, that's fine, thank you.
Get that to the board.
And part of that was also mud strut expenses, and if anybody wants the floor, they need to ask for it, please.
I'm sorry. So, excuse me, though, I'm confused about the negative $12,000 versus the negative $45,000. Again, brain dead, math dead. Are we down only $12,000?
Yes, Judy, that's because we do quite well with our other income, which is our investment income.
So which is it, 45 or 12?
If you count the investment income, it's $12,000. Did that answer your question, Judy?
Not really, but I'm not going to pursue it. Not your help, your mind.
Other questions? Or Peter, do you want to explain more?
I was just going to say that people have, after the convention, if people have more specific questions,
absolutely.
Send me an email and I can respond to the board.
Yeah, you could definitely. I think it would be good to have those questions on the board list, because if Judy has those questions, I'm sure other board members, you know, it would help all of us to understand better. Definitely. Any other questions? Okay.
Move to accept the treasurer's report.
Second.
Yes.
I'll second.
Do you have other?
I have one other report.
He has one other. He did give it, actually. It's part. All this is part of it. But you have one more document.
Where's the one more document? Because I didn't...
Basically, the treasurer's report for the period January...
Go ahead and get closer to the mic, please.
January 1st to August 31st, 2013. And I'll just...
It's called Treasurer's Report. And that's why Ed said he didn't give the treasurer's report.
which one is it in the line of? Is it the first one?
It was the first document.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was the first document. So,
okay. I got it.
Basically, our total, the highlight of this report is basically we had total income in the amount of $118,549. Our budgeted income was $194,000. The difference in those two figures is $75,451.
What was his expenses?
And
what was budgeted income?
$194,000.
Even? Okay.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking, Jen?
No, but I'm good. It's not my cell phone.
Basically,
cell phones, please.
Our total expenses were $157,928. Our budgeted expenses for the period were, our budgeted annual expenses are $303,970, leaving a difference of $146,042. And this concludes my report.
Any questions from the board on the treasurer's report document?
I do have one.
Jeff has a question.
Yeah, Peter, I guess these mean two different things, but in the one report, the net income was a minus 12. And in this, the net income is a minus 10,927. Why are they two different figures?
That's a good question, Jeff, and I'll have to get back to the board on that one.
Isn't this much less we made than we thought we would make?
Roger, are you seeking the floor?
I don't think so, but I don't know. Oh, I'm going to spill this.
Okay,
maybe
so
you can hand this over, Ed, because I got this water here.
Ed's not here.
Let me get the mic. I'll get the mic out of here and pass it to.
Yeah, if you can.
Here. Oh, okay. He's got one.
If you can get that over to Roger.
I was trying to sort of continue this thread by saying that my impression was that this, that what Peter was just now talking about, was the difference between actual income and budgeted income. In other words, how much we got versus how much we thought we would get.
No, because that's the bottom line. So I don't think that's right.
Peter.
That's right.
Yeah, Jeff, you're correct. And I'll investigate that difference and get back to the board. Because it shouldn't differ. I apologize.
I don't think you're right.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Hearing none. Judy, we'll get the mic over to you.
So, Madam President, would, in terms of procedure,
mm-hmm.
would we not accept the treasurer's report, or accept the treasurer's report
subject
to further clarification? How do we proceed?
So, Roger, the question I would ask you, since you're all the way over there, Roger, is would it be proper to have the board accept all red and table the acceptance of the treasurer's report document until the next board meeting?
I think what Judy said makes
more
sense to me, that we accept it.
Okay.
Subject to the satisfactory receiving the figures that we feel that we're missing.
So, Judy, please make that motion again for our secretary.
I move that we accept the treasurer's report subject to clarification of several figures.
Do we have a second? Artist seconded. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. The next item on our agenda, now we are to committee reports. And if we can hear from our publications chair, Linda Perel.
Here I am. Let's see. Boy, I really have to get friendly with this microphone in order to be heard. I don't know if anything can be done with the volume or... Is it good? Everyone hear me out back?
Yes.
Lovely. Okay. First of all, I wish to thank the members of the Publications Committee, hereafter referred to as the PubCom. They are, in alphabetical order, Annette Carter, Susan Glass, Mike Keithley, Lynn Laird, Roger Peterson, Bonnie Rennie, Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker, and Judy Wilkinson, our BC editor. And I wish to give a special farewell thank you to Donna Sanchez, who's leaving the committee. I'm going to begin this report. Last time I spoke to you, I regaled you with four issues of the BC figures. This time, you'll only get two, and I'll do it at the beginning of the report and save the more interesting and compelling material till later. Although, I think this part is pretty interesting, too. So I'm going to begin this report with the summer BC Blind Californian production count sheet. Braille readers, we had 145 mailing labels. Pardon the occasional page turning. Extras 6, total total to be embossed, 151. The vendor is the National Braille Press in Boston, Massachusetts. Yay. And the cost of that issue was $1,286.74. Print readers, we have 333 sighted print readers. We have 95, which is, I think, is sort of intriguing why we break that out, but anyway. That equals 428 total, total mailing labels, and extra 6. So a total to be printed was 434. The total bill equals, total bill equals 430, okay. The vendor is Piedmont Printing, Berkeley, California, and Lynn Laird, our committee member, does the formatting in that issue. She charged us $105. The large print expense total, therefore, was $1,391.93. Audio tape readers, 249. Audio tape sighted readers, 2. Fascinating. total to be taped, copies, 251. Master audio cassette tape source is Mike Keithley. The dubbing copies source is in-house, CCB. So, and the cost, we went over this before last time, $173.66 was what Ed divided all the tapes he had in the closet over several issues. So total issues produced, all formats, 836. Total readers mailed, all formats, 824. And so now we'll go to the 2013 fall issue production sheet. Okay, quite a significant drop in these, you'll see. Braille readers, 102 mailing labels, extras 8, total to be embossed, 110. Vendor, National Braille Press, Boston, Massachusetts, $940.09. Print readers, 266 mailing labels, extras 9, total to be printed 275. Vendor Piedmont Printing, Berkeley, California. Lynn, they charged us $854.29. And Lynn Laird did the formatting for $85. And audio tape readers, 156, total to be, total to be tape copied was 156, master audio cassette tape source Mike Keithley, dubbing copies source in-house CCB, another $173.66. Total issues produced, all formats, 541. Total readers mailed, all formats, 524. It appears, although this isn't the report, I'm just commenting here, there's been somewhat of a migration to receiving it by email, but that doesn't account for all of that dip. So now for the narrative part of the report. We established a BC production subcommittee, which started working together on the summer 2013 issue. The committee members are Judy Wilkinson, Lynn Laird, Greg Fowler, who is a member of the technical operations group, and I'll have a little more to say about Greg a little later, too. Mike Keithley and Good Things, and Ed Branch. The production process begins with the submission deadline of the 15th of the month prior to publication, prior to the month of publication. So our issue we started collecting articles for this issue on August 15th, Judy, is that when it was? The timeline includes editorial decisions and proofreading, followed by production of the various formats, each with its own responsible subcommittee member, and ends with the coordination of a, and I should have said, concurrent date of publication for all formats. That is a tricky task indeed. There have been delays in the process, which generally are attributable to our outside sources of production, but more on that issue shortly. In August 2013, the Technical Operations Group, otherwise known as the TOG, was separated as a subcommittee of the Publications Committee. It used to be the Website Task Force, then it became the TOG, and now it is its own freestanding committee of CCB, ably led by my good friend Vita Zavli. In light of that separation, the TOG chair requested that the PubCom review and update the resource sections of CCBNet. This task has been ably carried out by Susan Glass and Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker. The results of the update will be available when the TOG completes its work on recreating the website. Also in August, we met with Gene Lozano. in this case, we is the PubCon. So we met with Gene, CNC chair. CNC is my abbreviation for conference and convention, which is just too much to say, to discuss the role of the PubCom in preparing pre-registration announcement and CNC program documents. Gene stated that the CNC organizers welcome the expert guidance and advice of the PubCom regarding formatting and structure of the pre-registration announcement and program. Gene also noted continuing efforts to limit general session and special interest presentation abstracts to 50-word maximums with an implementation goal of the 2014 CNC. He pointed out the challenges faced by the CNC organizers to provide an adequately informative abstract within the 50-word limitation. 50-word limitation. He emphasized that the CNC program content is determined by the organizers based on the membership's needs and wants for information for the program. For some time, our committee member Bonnie Rennie has been hard at work on creating a new ebook that discusses a range of issues facing an individual who is losing vision. Annette Carter assisted in compiling relevant photo images from a vast number now available for free on the internet. At this writing, the ebook is entering the editing phase with Bonnie and Judy working together on this. We look forward to having this valuable new resource available on CCBNet. Although we were instructed merely to explore alternative audio options for the BC, we, as a committee, decided to conduct a more detailed survey of the BC readership. Our goal is to collect and use information from our subscribers to improve the quality, relevance, and availability of the BC, of, Blind Californian. Because the fall 2013 issue was delayed, we are extending the deadline for receipt of survey responses to November 15th. CCB members can either mail their responses or email their responses to me, linda.perrell@ccbnet.org, or call one of our two designated phone survey collectors. I can provide that information for anyone who needs it, and we'll put it in the connection again before the deadline. And now for the report on the audio alternatives for the BC. I explore two options for recording the BC. Excuse me, I'm sort of recovering from a cold, so if I get scratchy. They are CDs and digital cartridges, which many of us are now familiar with through NLS. On Amazon, we could purchase a CD duplicator for between $199 and $250. The two I looked at were very highly rated on Amazon. In addition, we could purchase boxes of 180-minute CDs for between $25 and $30. As for cartridges, the latest individual figures I received from Perkins Products were $12.95 for a 4-gigabyte cartridge and $9.99 for a 512-megabyte cartridge. The mailers cost $2 each. Judy Dixon of the National Library Service informed us that we might get a lower price if we ordered 100 or more and bundle our requests in with theirs. I also learned from Mike Marlin in Sacramento at the BTBL that Judy Dixon can order a 256-megabyte cartridge size that would likely be both less expensive and more than adequate for our purposes. Mike also let me know that his BTBL sends out about 150 overdue notices a week for returns on magazine cartridges. He believes the loss rate for cartridges may be about 30%. On the production side, I received information on the status of Learning Ally, who have been producing our master audio recording. From Greg Fowler, a member of the TOG who has connections. He's been our liaison with Learning Ally. Greg reports that Learning Ally Learning Ally has moved to a centralized service delivery model, resulting in the elimination of most of the local paid staff and the advisory board, and a possible move from their Palo Alto location in the future. Although, up to now, they have been recording the BC with no compensation, it's not clear how much longer that arrangement might hold. Their normal rate is $250 for a custom recording. Greg noted that he will continue to facilitate our interaction with Learning Ally to the best of his increasingly limited influence, as long as we maintain that relationship. I recently spoke with Greg Corrette at the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired in San Francisco. The Lighthouse has a fully equipped recording studio. He offered two options for our consideration. In the first, we would bring in people to both read and record. In the second, we would use their personnel. As an example, he mentioned the newsletter, The Lighthouse Records for Guide Dogs for the Blind. It's a simple newsletter without separate tracks. GDB receives an MP3 from the Lighthouse, which they then copy onto CDs. Therefore, primarily due to the cost of the cartridges and their mailers and the likelihood of a significant percentage of unreturned cartridges, it is recommended that we move to CDs as our replacement audio format for the BC and further explore the possibility of employing the Lighthouse as our recording option. Respectfully submitted, Linda Perrell, committee chair.
Madam President, he has had to step out. This is Gene Lozano, first vice president, stepping in. And first, I'd like to find out if the publication committee is making it as a formal motion. If we have a second, then so to have a discussion.
Wait.
That was going to be my question.
This is the secretary. What was that motion?
I'm asking if the publications committee chair was making that as a formal motion, and if so, their recommendations, then I'd ask for a second, and I would suggest if it is that we break it up into at least two motions, their recommendation on the format and then the vendor to be contracted with.
If it's a committee motion, it doesn't need a second, if it is one.
Oh, well, why not? Let's have it be a motion. I was hesitant to even make a recommendation because I wanted a lively discussion, but I was encouraged to make a recommendation, and now I feel encouraged to make a motion. The motion is that we move to adopting CDs as our new audio format, and that we further explore the possibility of working with the Lighthouse to become our recording option.
Is there a second? Okay, open it for discussion.
Who is the seconder?
Hi, Lena.
Thank you.
I would like to just take the prerogative as chair just before recognizing Judy, Jeff, and Roger. Okay, drop that about Jeff. My recall, and I could be mistaken, was that the publication committee was going to look at all options, including the continuation of the audio cassette. It was not to come with illumination. It was going to look at all those. Secondly, I would strongly encourage that have occurred, because there was an article that was disseminated to the ACB leadership, and that the 50th anniversary of cassettes, this being the year, the 50th anniversary, there seems to be the producers of the cassettes are saying it is coming back, that a lot of people are wanting, and young people are interested in having cassettes because of the sound quality for music particularly, and therefore the supply will be around. There also seems to be, with the report, if I recall, that it was the least expensive of all the different formats we were at. So I would say that I think we're missing that other component of the comparison with the other formats. The other thing was that if we were going to the two, I would have to agree with the CDs, because it would be equal access to the information. The drawback, if the cartridges would be that Braille and print readers would have their own copy to keep, but those who were using audio would not have a format to keep, which they would with the CD.
The CDs would be kept. The cartridges would
I
not
agree.
Be kept.
I'm agreeing with you that the CDs would be, and that is the pro. Yeah. That is the pro, and I'm agreeing with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Judy, you had asked for the floor.
No, Judy asked me a question. I have to say that this is not Judy and I did not discuss this matter, and this matter was not brought up before the publications committee. I did most of the research for this on my own. And if the publications committee does not support this recommendation, I'm happy to withdraw the motion and go back and do some more research.
Okay.
With the assistance of the publications committee.
Okay. Roger had asked for the floor.
Yes. Again, at this convention, I will be probably unable to attend the Publications Committee meeting, because it's at the same time as the Constitution and Bylaws Committee meeting. And I wanted to point out that recently in email correspondence with Dr. Bill Takeshita, he suggested that he thought that ERSLA would be interested in recording the Blind Californian,
right,
and that they could do it with their own volunteers, and that they could send over the internet or by email a MP3 file, which could then be processed by Mike or whoever and created and put into either CD or cassette or whatever. I hope I can support, I guess, this motion in terms of the continuing to explore the Lighthouse, but I would suggest that we might want to explore ERSLA too.
Somebody else was asking for the floor. Was that Peter?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Basically, what would the mailing cost be for CDs? And are they allowed to be mail-free matter?
Yes.
Yes.
Are sound recordings for the boy?
So, I mean, what would the...
Aren't they actually lighter than cassettes?
Yeah, probably so.
Strictly still free matter.
Still free matter. But,
there would be no postage. It would be free reading matter for the blind.
What would the container cost be then? I mean, we have to buy special CD envelopes?
I think it's comparable to cassette.
Do we currently mail the cassettes in bubble envelopes?
Yes.
So same bubble envelope.
I think it's similar.
So that would probably be pretty much the same.
I'm perfectly happy to withdraw the motion and to consider this a partial report to be continued.
Is the seconder in agreement with that? Lena?
I'm interested in hearing your hesitation.
Well, my hesitation is because I haven't heard anyone say specifically that they wanted it withdrawn. It seemed like it was maybe wanting it to be amended. And, you know, I think there's some, you know, some good things within there, like, maybe just changing to exploring other vendors for recording the BC as opposed to just the one. I don't see an issue with, you know, if it would be a friendly amendment, why it would need to be withdrawn. I haven't heard anyone say specifically that they wanted it taken off.
Artist?
I just wanted to mention that since Gene mentioned the cassette, now there's some thought that that's still viable, then that would change the motion, because in the motion it was that we switched to this, the CD instead of the cassette. So if there's still a feeling that the cassettes are still going to be viable, then perhaps if we're going to do a motion at all, it would be to explore both the areas further.
Mr. Chairman?
Is that Judy?
Judy.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I suggest that what we do is refer this. We don't need to change, I think, any motions or add any motions. We just refer this back to the Publications Committee for further research.
Another thing, this is, it's a motion on the floor right now.
Oh, I see.
But you could refer, you could have a motion to refer.
I don't like to get into this arcane. What is the best procedure here to, you know, to just move this along?
I would suggest withdrawing it and then going back to Publications Committee and looking at it.
But the seconder is reluctant to withdraw.
Okay, to be clear, I said I would withdraw. I hadn't heard that that's what people were wanting. I did not say I wouldn't withdraw.
Go ahead, Peter.
I think for time's sake, we should refer this back to the Publications Committee for further research.
Have a motion on the floor, so if it's withdrawn, then we can have a new motion.
No, the motion to refer is a subsidiary motion to the motion on the floor.
Okay. Those in favor? I heard a second.
Wait,
who made the first, Peter? Were you the first?
Well, actually, I was.
Okay, Judy made the...
You didn't make the motion, Judy.
No, you... All right.
You didn't make the motion to refer.
Oh, okay.
Peter, you made the motion.
I made the motion to refer, and Robert Wendt was the seconder.
Okay, discussion.
It's debatable, yeah.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nays? Abstentions? Okay, thank you. I just would like to make one suggestion for consideration. Is that when looking at the CD format, which is a viable option, consider contacting those who are at this time cassette users and find out if they have not only CD players on their computers, but if they have standalone CD players that will play the CDs on them.
So could I respond to that?
Yes.
That is actually part of the general BC readership survey. We were hoping to gain support for the motion to consider other options other than tape by getting some numbers. So we are looking for people to respond to that survey to see what, you know, which format they could use their BC in if their preferred number one favorite format is no longer available for whatever reason.
Okay, given, because I wanted to find out whether they did not have to buy a device. That's the reason I was trying to get a player of some sort. And I will turn it over to our president, Donna Pomerantz.
Thank you. Artist.
I would like to make a motion to accept the Publications Committee report.
Second.
Several seconds. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Yes.
One abstention. Motion carries. Okay. The next item on the agenda is our technical operations group report. And if we can get a microphone to our committee chair, Ms. Vita Zavali.
Good evening, everyone. Oh, it's too loud for me, huh? I'm not going to go through the entire report as I handed it an 8-page Braille report to the poor board to read. So I don't think I need to go through the entire report. But since there are a number of members here, I would like for them to know where we are, what we're doing. So the current items I'm going to mention are things that we are doing, that we either in progress or we've already done this year. On an ongoing basis, the TOG responds, let me reiterate, TOG is a technical operations group. The TOG responds to inquiries to the webmaster, and that includes items such as my email address has changed, what do I do? And how do I subscribe to XYZ list, and so forth. We post the California Connection each week online, and it seems like a simple process. We get a document, and we just put it online. In fact, it takes a good 2 to 3 hours because it does require coding. We post the Blind California online, audio, BRF, and so forth. We create listservs. And this year, we actually created a training for listservs. We offered a training in August. One person signed up for training. So we believe the reason behind this is because when listservs are requested, we provide a one-hour training to the moderator or moderators initially. So I suspect that there was not a big need for it. However, we do plan to offer it again in the near future and record it and put it online so that in the future, new listserv owners or moderators, I should say, can go online and listen to them. We post convention information that includes announcements, programs, and the audio files. Those audio files are, of course, edited and then put online. That's quite a bit of work. We update the committees, affiliates, and chapters pages. So trust me, those officer information sheets you send in are really important. We look at them. We do put them online. We do change the information. And it's important to keep your chapter and affiliate information updated. This year we did the board candidate page, and that seemed to have gotten quite a bit of positive feedback. We posted a 2013 governmental affairs page, and we also give feedback to CCB regarding software and or hardware that they have asked us to look at. Recently we looked at the Square app, which is an app that allows you to use your credit card via your iPhone. So President Pomerantz is dedicated to making sure that when we purchase software for CCB, that it is accessible to all. Upcoming, we are going to seriously come into the 21st century. We are going to have a Facebook and Twitter page. This was reported earlier in the year. However, we had some staffing changes. So now we are ready to get that going. And we hope to have a message posted every week on both Facebook and Twitter. And I expect that that will be going as soon as December, but I would say the latest January. We're looking at creating guidelines for audio files because we anticipate that because we're going to one convention, a number of affiliates will have more teleconferences, and they will probably want to post their recordings online. So we'll need to come up with some guidelines of that. For example, how long would your recording stay online? Would it be a year? Would it be 2 years? So we have to come up with some guidelines for this. But I am excited because some affiliates have already contacted us with this request. We recently sent out a survey and learn some things. This was a membership survey. We wanted to get a feel for what people want on the website because we are going to a new website that's going to offer us more tools and services. So we're going to have more abilities on that site, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So this survey at this point was only completed by 28 people. So, of course, this really doesn't give us a good feel for what members are looking for. So we plan to repost this survey, make some changes in it. We're also going to create it as a form online for people to complete, in email format, by phone. Any way you want to complete this survey, we're going to make you do it because we really need the feedback. It is so important. This website belongs to the members, and it's really crucial. We want to know, when would you visit the website? Why would you visit the website? What do you want on there that would make a difference to you? So just briefly for the 28 surveys that we did receive, 71% of people said that they would contribute to blogs online. 57% of participants said that they would like a chapter or affiliate webpage. We kind of thought that number would be higher, and maybe it will be as we distribute the surveys more. 79% of respondents stated that their chapter affiliate would like to pay their dues online. And very, very strong support was expressed for completing CCB forms online, ranging from 79% to 96%, depending on the form. So we will continue that. The migration, we're moving on to a new website. We are currently under ACB, but we're going to move to a service called HostGator. It is similar to Alligator, but it's actually HostGator. The board has graciously approved $208.09 expenditure for the next 3 years for a business plan through HostGator. This is an amazing price for 3 years. It's actually an amazing price. And it's because one of our TOG members just happened to see it, called the treasurer called the president, and somehow in one day this got done. So I thank you for that. The biggest thing about this plan that makes a huge difference to the members is that we have a dedicated SSL. So what this means is that when you pay CCB from your computer, that information goes directly to the office. It does not go through other networks. And that's what they mean by dedicated SSL. So it's very secure. That was very, very important to us. What we're going to do in the upcoming months, I would say probably in the next 3 to 4 months, we're going to create a search tool. So now you'll be able to go to the website and either search through the site for something through the search tool by putting in a word or phrase, or you can choose to search through the web for something that you input, a term or a phrase that you input. We're going to put navigation bars on our pages. As you know, that's a quick way to get around. It means that you don't have to go back to the home page to go 2 layers down, come back out, and go another 2 layers down. This is going to be very helpful. One of the big things is we're going to start putting forms on the website. And the other big thing is that we are going to start discussions with the president and treasurer of CCB as to how we can implement the payment process online. And this is, there are different services. PayPal is one of the services that we're researching, but we are researching other services as well. And so if you, as a member, have any comments or any suggestions, we absolutely welcome that. You can always write to webmaster@ccbnet.org. I think I've said the main points, but I do not want to end without telling you who the wonderful, wonderful TOG members are. These are people who volunteer their time to CCB, who in the technical field could get paid between $50 and $100 an hour easily. So this is truly a dedication on their part. Steve Aminoff, Greg Fowler, Jeremy Johansson, Mike Keithley, Phil Obregon, and our latest two members is Paul Patchy and Rex Ransom. Thank you. That's my report.
Madam Chair.
Any questions from our board? Yes, Roger.
Vita, I have a terminological question. When it comes to, first of all, Listserv, I believe Listserv is a brand name, and it should be email list or something like that, but that wasn't my question, really. What my question is we've been talking about whether lists should be moderated or not, And I think it's confusing to call the people who run lists moderators when we have what we call unmoderated lists. Seems to me, I think the term that's used in the field is list owner. I would propose possibly list administrator. But, you know, moderated has a special meaning that we may or may not want to imply.
Yes, that is correct. Truthfully, however, the TOG is really the list owners, I would say. The people who monitor the list, add people to the list, take people off, those are list moderators. We do not, there's a number of items that a list owner can do that a moderator does not have access to. But it is a very confusing term. You can call it a list monitor. You can. It is confusing.
Any other questions from board members?
Madam Chairman?
Judy?
I move we accept the TOG report.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very, very much. We are very, very fortunate to have our TOG chair and this wonderful team that chooses to continue giving and sharing their gifts with the CCB family. Thank you, Vita. The next item on our agenda is the report on the Newell Perry Trust Fund, and I have asked Jeff to read the report that has come from Kathy Skivers. Jeff?
Okay. This is dated September 26, 2013, from Catherine Skivers, Trustee Newell Perry Endowment Trust Fund. To California Council of the Blind Board of Directors for the October 17, 2013 board meeting. Dear board members, the trustees of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust Fund are Richard Rueda, Mitch Pomerantz, and Catherine Skivers. As of August 31, 2013, the balance in our account is $209,315.49. As of September 25, 2013, our balance was $217,834.89. The cash in the account is $106.38. This account reserves very little cash because, unlike the Ellen Murphy Fund, we rarely make disbursements from it. The only two transactions that have been made in the past several years were $8,000 to help with all employment with an employment problem. And the $25,000 that was given to the council. If we were to add that $33,000, it would show even more how very well we have done with this account. Donna Andrews is the one who currently has responsibility for our account and has done very well by us. For many years, it has been my privilege to serve as a trustee on the Newell Perry Endowment Trust Fund. I knew Dr. Perry personally and had the privilege to work with him. When I first came to California and met him in 1949, he encouraged me to find employment and remain independent at a very difficult time in my life. This is why my work with the council and the trust has meant so much to me. I have been here so long, I can't remember when I first became a trustee. It has been long enough, I think, and I think it is time that the board find a replacement for me. I realize there's a lot going on with redoing our constitution and bylaws and everything else you have to do. But I am resigning as a trustee effective January 1, 2014. This is just a date I picked. If you find that you need for me to hold on until you have found a replacement, or if you find someone before that date, we can make whatever adjustment is necessary. Strange as it sounds, I am pretty busy right now. Between the Ellen Murphy Fund and the council history, I think I will have enough to do for right now. I wish you every success with your board meeting and with the future of our council. Sincerely, Catherine Skyvers, Trustee, Newell Perry Endowment Fund.
Artis.
I'd move that Mitch become the new chair of that committee and that they search for another member.
Okay.
But we need a new trustee.
It's not a committee, it's a board of trustees.
The
okay. Yeah, a member of the board of trustees.
Do we, point of order? Do we?
The board of directors wishes, the board of directors can make the recommendation according to our constitution. Excuse me. I have, when Kathy called me, this is our discussion. So do we need a second before we even continue?
Yeah. Madam President?
Jean?
Just point of order. Shouldn't we?
We need to accept the report. Is that what you're going to say, Gene? Do we
yes.
accept the report and
yes.
then continue?
Yes.
Okay.
And I so move we accept the report.
Second.
Okay. Artis seconded. Any discussion on the report? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Related to the motion that Artis made, which wasn't seconded. That's right. So no discussion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Robert Wendt seconded for purposes of discussion.
Point of order?
Yes.
Now,
Jeff, go ahead.
I can't remember the Constitution. Do we, your motion, right, Artis, was to name Mitch as chair. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, and I don't know, does the board name the chair, or is the chair selected by the three trustees?
Basically, and because I don't have web access here, I can't jump on the website and look at the Constitution right now. I've read that Constitution many, many times. And
yes,
the board selects the trustees. What I did previously... And Gabe is our Constitution Bylaws Chair, so I don't know if you have a copy of your handy-dandy Constitution. Right.
I can try and look for it.
I spoke while he's looking.
I think I have it in one of various forms, but I don't recall any mention of appointing chair. I think the Constitution just says that the board appoints the trustees.
The trustees. Yes, and letting you as the board know when Kathy called me and we discussed this at length. She had a lot to share with me. She is and would be supportive of Mitch being chair. And she asked me to speak with him. And I did so, and we had a telephone call with Kathy as well. We did not touch base with the other trustee. So this is pretty much where we're at. Richard is here at convention, but not in this room, I'm sure. Richard Redda is the other trustee. Mm-hmm. So... that is pretty much where we're at. Mitch would accept, after his discussions with Kathy, if this board would wish to have him as the chair. Gabe is still looking for his constitution, so
it's going to take me a couple of minutes. I've got
unfortunately,
to
if I had web access, see, I'm good. I haven't been looking at my email during this board meeting. Otherwise, I'd be able to jump right on, and I'd
Madam President.
Yes, Jeff.
I'm going to oppose the motion. because we don't know whether we have the authority.
Well, that's what Gabe's looking for, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think unless we find that we clearly do, I'd rather see them just, if they want to change the chair while we still work for a third, I mean, I'm all for Mitch being chair. I don't have any problem with that. I just think, why do we bother to make the motion? Let's just let the trustees do it, and then we'll find that third trustee in the meantime, and we'll all come out in the wash just like it would anyway.
What?
Would you be willing to amend her motion?
And the question I had was, if you wish for the trustees to bring forth a recommendation to the board, that can definitely be done as well, because... we don't have the Constitution in front of us right now. We don't know. And if the maker of the motion is fine with the delay, since we don't have the Constitution in front of us, to know if the trustees appoint a chair or if the board can do that, then since Gabe doesn't have it, if the maker of the motion wants to withdraw, she can.
Or I could just rephrase it to make a motion that the two remaining trustees go ahead and search for a new person. But maybe it's not necessary, you know. So,
do you want to, Jeff wants you to withdraw your motion. So would you wish to withdraw and then we'll have the Constitution, let folks know a recommendation should come with the trustees. Because one of the things that was stated was, when moving forward searching for a third trustee, there should be a chair. And that was the concern expressed. So,
I'm okay with withdrawing since we aren't sure what the Constitution says. But, and if we want to bring it up later, fine. If we don't, you know, that's fine.
The seconder, are you okay with?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. So the motion is withdrawn.
Question.
Judy has a question. Go ahead, Judy.
My question is, now, then, I'm assuming that the search will proceed for a third trustee, and is that what you do, Donna? I mean, it's your search, or it's the
trustees?
How does the third trustee get appointed?
The trustees.
I understand that we appoint
the trustees. The trustees will come together and do a search in consultation with the president, and the trustees will bring forward a name to the board of directors as a recommendation, and the board would choose to accept that recommendation if they wished.
Madam President?
Okay.
Two things. One is that the Constitution, Article 4, Section 3, I think it is, 2 or 3, only states that the board will appoint three trustees.
Right.
It does not say any mention of chair or not.
Okay.
It just says three trustees. And while I was looking for that, I understand that the motion was withdrawn. How should that be reflected in the minutes? Should the motion just be erased as if it never happened? Or do I put that it was made and seconded and then withdrawn?
The motion was withdrawn, so it should not be...
Okay, so it's just deleted as if it never happened?
Correct, because
it kind of
died.
I just wanted to make sure, I thought that might be it. I just wanted to make sure before doing anything.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay.
Ellen Murphy?
Yes, Jeff, if you can please read to us.
Sure.
The Ellen Murphy Trust.
September 26, 2013, from Catherine Scriver's trustee, Ellen Murphy Trust Fund, to California Council of the Line Board of Directors for the October 17, 2013 board meeting. The trustees of the Ellen Murphy Trust Fund are Abigail Vincent,
Christy Crespin.
I know, I was just, what did I say?
Christy
Crespin. I've only known her for 30 years.
You need more coffee. Let's get you some
and
more
Catherine
coffee.
Catherine Scriver's. Oh, boy. On August 30th, 2013, the balance in our account was $259,090.65. As of September 25th, 2013, our balance was $264,158. When we started with the trust in November of 2002, our balance was $323,640.33. We believe that our brokers, Jim Giordano and his father, have done very well with our account. We realize we have helped so many people since that time that we are happy to have this current balance. This is due, on part, to the anonymous donor who has given us $5,000 for several years, and we have received a $500 donation from a member and donation from one of our chapters. The current cash in this account is $8,626.44. We have three cases pending, which this account may or may not fund, cover, excuse me. We cannot be sure as yet. They are not completed. In 2013, we have helped six individuals for a total payout of $6,850. Most of these were payments related to housing, first and last month's deposit and or rent payments, and one needed assistance with eye surgery. I am sure we all must Pat Wolf very much, but must be, yeah, miss, it was, but it says must, sorry. It does. I am sure we all miss Pat Wolf very much, but Christy is a great addition to our group of trustees. We have made some good friends at UBS, and they are most helpful in responding to mail out of our checks. The young lady who helps us with these things is most helpful if we need something sent out overnight or in an emergency situation. Our application asks for how the applicant has heard about the Ellen Murphy Trust Fund. The referrals not only come from some of our members, but from rehabilitation counselors, social workers, and others. If you have any questions, you can identify them to Abby, Christy, or me. Sincerely, Catherine Skyvers, Trustee, Ellen Murphy Trust Fund.
Thank you very much. Do we have a motion?
I move to accept the report.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item on our agenda, Jeff, you have that one too?
Yep, it's right here.
The next item on our agenda is the board expectations document. And Gene Lozano led this project, and a number of board members gave wonderful input. To create this document feels like giving birth, I guess. It's been a number of years. Some of you were at that board meeting the first time we read this document. If I can give it over to Jeff Tom to read that to the board, please.
Okay. California Council of the Blind policy regarding expectations, roles, and responsibilities for members of the board of directors. Adopted blank. Successful actions happen in organizations when board members contribute work, wisdom, and wealth. Board members are to lead by example. California Council of the Blind, CCB, seeks board members who can commit to the following expectations, roles, and responsibilities. Bullet. Contribute at least 5 hours per week, including board and committee meetings.
That's wrong.
The president. That's what it says, but it should be. I'm reading.
I think you're reading the older one.
Okay.
The newer one.
Okay.
No, but Ed sent out another
okay.
one.
Sorry, after. I was reading the other one. They were right next to one another. Okay, I'm going to start. Yeah, I'm going to start with
see,
the doctor.
It even went through rebirth after the agenda. I guess.
You're confusing
okay,
me.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Adopted October 17th, 2013. Successful actions happen in organizations when board members contribute work, wisdom, and wealth. Board members are to lead by example. California Council of the Blind, CCB, seeks board members who can commit to the following expectations, roles, and responsibilities. And I'm not going to read these bullets. I'm not going to say bullet. I'm just going to stop before each one. should be a member and participate actively in a local chapter unless one is not within a reasonable distance from where you reside. Contribute at least 5 hours per week, including board and committee meetings. The president will contribute at least 30 hours per week, and the treasurer will contribute at least 16 hours per week. Promote the board mission, vision, and strategic plan. Determine organizational policies between conferences and conventions. Monitor the implementation of CCB policies, the strategic plan, and the success of programs. Remain informed about CCB's financial health. Approve and monitor the annual budget. Be familiar with the constitution and bylaws of CCB. Actively contribute to at least one committee on a monthly basis. Distribute presentation and meeting materials in accessible formats to all board members for review no later than 4 days prior to board meetings. Read all meeting materials before attending board meetings. Keep confidential all personal information about CCB board members and employees, as well as CCB clients, property negotiations, personnel issues, and CCB-related legal matters per the CCB confidentiality policy. Take the initiative to communicate ideas and concerns to the board officers. Share their knowledge and expertise with members of the board. Be an advocate for CCB on the state level as well as in local communities. Encourage member involvement in CCB. Look for the development, look for and develop new leadership and make appointment recommendations to the president or a committee chair. Board members, to the best of their ability, shall set an example to the membership by contributing financially to the organization. Support CCB-sponsored events by getting involved in event planning, purchasing tickets, attending these events, and encouraging others to attend as well. Maintain and develop CCB membership by encouraging others to become members. Disclose the existence of his or her financial interest per the CCB policy regarding conflicts of interest and discharge of duties. Each will be given the opportunity to disclose all material facts relating to his or her financial interest to the officers and directors who are considering the proposed transaction or arrangement to determine whether a conflict of interest exists. Be actively involved in all organization fundraising efforts to ensure the board acquires the necessary resources to adequately fund CCB's programs, services, activities, and staff. Lead and manage the organization as a business. In order for the CCB to thrive, the board must have adequate resources, effective strategies, measurable goals, and realistic timetables for their achievement. Demonstrate at all times professionalism, appropriate behavior, sensitivity, respect, and courtesy toward other board members, staff, membership, and the general public, particularly when there are differences in opinion. Possess and demonstrate skills and abilities in a majority of the goal of the following areas: leadership, planning, evaluations, decision-making, effective oral and written communications, ability to interpret budget and financial reports, fundraising, conflict resolution, membership and community relations, and innovative thinking. Attend and actively participate in all board of directors meetings with no more than 2 absences within a year, July 1st to June 30th. Review and sign on an annual basis the CCB policies regarding conflict of interest and discharge of duties, confidentiality and expectations. Conflict of interest and discharge of duties, confidentiality and expectations, roles and responsibilities for a member of the board of directors. Statement of understanding and agreement. In signing this statement, I confirm that I have received a copy of the California Council of the Blind policy regarding expectations, roles, and responsibilities for members of the Board of Directors, and agree to abide by the guidelines set forth therein. Date 10/17/13, signature revised 10/14/13. That's the end.
Thank you very much. Is Jean seeking the floor? Okay.
Okay, I'm on. And I know this is, in the, if this should pass, and this is prior under the prerogative of the Publications Committee for formatting, but the revisions, that information wasn't meant to be there because those were referring to different draft versions, and this hadn't been adopted, and those revisions were only... Revisions would be only listed if this has been adopted, and after that fact, then any changes to it then would have to be added to it. So I'm saying that that should not be there. And if this gets adopted, I wanted to see then adding, right in the bullets, but putting numerals in front of each of those points so that it's clear and easier to find things there. I was challenged in, after working on it, shifting things around with the bullets to, I was challenged putting numbers there with the formatting being thrown off each time. So therefore I thought, let's wait to see if it gets adopted as is. Thank you. And I just would like to just say one thing. I would like to particularly thank Roger, Judy, Linda, Donna, and Jeff for their input through this, the development of this document. Thank you.
I move its adoption.
Second. Okay, Jeff makes a motion for the adoption. Artis seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Item number 14 on the agenda is, we'll give this to Roger and Judy. Status, guide dog users of California. Roger Peterson, Judy Wilkinson.
Madam Chairman, Roger will basically give the report, and of course I will correct him.
Yeah, she wants me to go ahead so she can beat on me when I make mistakes. Okay. As you on the board will remember, sometime in the spring, I guess. I'm not sure when exactly. Our president was contacted by some members of the Guide Dog Users of California, including the majority of the board of Guide Dog Users of California. And they expressed to us some concerns, which were enumerated in a resolution that you, the board, passed. I believe July the 2nd was the date of that. Basically, the gist of all that was that these members of Guide Dog Users of California, GDUC, wanted CCB's assistance in correcting some problems that they found themselves unable to correct by themselves. Things having to do primarily with the way the ways that the president and the treasurer of Guide Dog Users of California were conducting themselves, and thus some difficulties with fiscal and membership roster issues and so on. Again, those were delineated in the resolution that this board passed. The CCB board decided at that time to we consulted the Constitution, and the Constitution of CCB Article 8, Section 8.12 says that if a local chapter or an affiliate, I guess it really just says local chapter, and it's by reference in the next article includes affiliates, but says if a chapter or an affiliate does not comply with its own constitution and bylaws or the constitution and bylaws of CCB or ACB, the board of CCB can suspend the affiliate, and then the till the next convention, and then at that convention, if the affiliate is still suspended, the members in convention assembled can either continue the suspension or lift the suspension by a majority vote, or expel the affiliated organization by a two-thirds vote. So we suspended Guide Dog Users of California, and we decided in collaboration with with people on the board of Guide Dog Users of California that we would monitor their functioning. Now, it's been said, how can Guide Dog Users function when they're suspended? Well, they're still an organization. They're suspended as an affiliate of CCB, which means they couldn't, if there were a convention while they were suspended, they couldn't be seated as delegates and so on. We decided that we should, as I said, with the concurrence of the board of GDUC, that we should assign two monitors from the board of CCB to monitor and watch what efforts GDUC made to bring its activities into compliance with its own constitution. The monitors who were appointed were Judy Wilkinson and I. We then were accepted onto the email lists of GDUC and were invited to the teleconference board meetings and whatever meetings that they had. I think Judy and I feel that we did not go there with the intent of guiding or pushing the GDUC board, but mainly as flies on the wall, if you will, observing what happened, and therefore being able to recommend future actions to the board of CCB. While we were observing, the GDUC board, as far as we could tell, according to its own constitution, contacted the president and the treasurer of GDUC, invited them to meet with the board on conference calls with the number of days' notice that was required by the constitution of GUC, and sent them certified mail in braille and print to announce the action that was in, that was pending. After hearing no answer from either of those people, although they had evidence that, that the, at least in one case, the mail was received.
In fact, they resubmitted.
Yeah, they actually resubmitted. They resent the mail that wasn't received.
They resent it to another address.
To a different address.
To ensure that it would be received.
And it was received, but still it was not answered. Anyway, the board removed the president and the treasurer, as was as provided in their constitution. They designated the vice president as interim president, and another board member as treasurer. And since the constitution allowed them to replace the two board members that were made officers, they chose two more board members so that they had a fully staffed board. They made good faith efforts to try to comply with the things that we said in our resolution needed to be done in terms of records and treasurer's reports and all that sort of thing, reports on selling of merchandise that they sell and so forth. And but some of that stuff they couldn't do because they didn't have access to the records and they didn't have the cooperation of the former president and treasurer. Then the two monitors, Judy and I, at a board meeting which date I'm not remembering at the moment, but has since been announced, recommended to the board of CCB that the suspension of GDUC be lifted, and the GDUC board, with its interim officers, they, by the way, are interim in that they're going to elect new officers on Saturday at their meeting here. So the suspension has been lifted by the board, and we are now in a situation where GDUC is going to meet at this convention. They actually have prepared a considerably amended constitution, which they intend to present to the membership at this meeting. And they, as I said, intend to have elections. And they're being very careful about how they conduct the elections and so on. So we think that GDUC is on its way back, and we wish them the best. And I now turn the floor over to Judy to say everything I forgot.
I think you did an admirable job. Yeah, we're very proud of this affiliate. And I just want to underscore that we had two witnesses for good reason, so that we could reaffirm each other and confer and stuff. We felt that the GDUC board bent over backwards to follow its constitution to deal with issues of its own accord, and we did not ever feel that we had the authority or wanted the authority to do such things as hold a hearing for the former president. The affiliate was perfectly able and capable and did an amazing job, I think, of dotting every I and crossing every T to make sure that what they did was open. And they wrote to their membership, they on their listserv. We feel that they've done everything they possibly could and are much stronger and will be a great affiliate.
Yeah, the only things we did, CCB did, were suspend them and lift the suspension. Everything else, like the removal of the officers and so forth, they did.
Under their legitimate constitution.
Right.
Amen.
Any questions from the board? Peter?
This is Peter. Has there been any change regarding the bank accounts since the board of directors meeting on the 22nd of September?
So far as I understand, they do have control now of their treasury.
Any other questions from board members?
Do we need a motion to accept this report?
I don't know.
Since no one has any questions, do we have a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Okay, Robert makes motion, and I heard a second to his right. Who is that? Who is the seconder?
Second.
Okay. Nobody to your right. All right. Jeff is the seconder. Now to the left. Jeff threw his voice. I did hear someone to Robert's right as well. But they don't remember they did it, so Jeff did it. Okay. Do we have any discussion? All those in favor of accepting the report?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Thank you very much. Okay. The next item on our agenda is chapter charter issues. And I'm going to give the microphone over to our membership chair, Artis Basin.
Oh, yeah, it might be easier. Although I have read one-headed before. But
and all the dogs now are there. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Artis.
Okie dokie, I'm just finding my... I had closed it, now I have to open it back up again.
Technology.
I know.
If Mitch were here, he'd say, if you had hard copy Braille.
I'm trying to save the environment.
Yeah.
You
know? And everybody, give him a bad time when you see him on Friday that he wasn't here at the board meeting tonight. That's right. Peter said he shouldn't have been.
That's right. Okay. I'm going to give a report on some chapters that had some that have had some issues with their charters. In other words, having enough members, having ongoing issues with compliance with credentials, and so forth. So, at the beginning of the year, we were looking at all the different ones that had been having issues. And I first want to tell you the good news. One of the ones that's been having troubles the last couple years was Butte County Chapter. And they did decide that they wanted to work at becoming a chapter. And Lena has been really helpful in getting that chapter. She went to an event where they tried to get new members. They got enough new members, and they've started back up, and they did submit credentials for this convention. So that's a real positive note. Unfortunately, We've got some other ones that are not doing too well. And in a couple cases, I'm going to make a recommendation that we poll the charter. One is the pyramid chapter. That has not been in compliance for at least, I think it's 5 years now. And the last time we were able to get a hold of their president, she felt that they weren't going to be able to get anywhere. And now the last 3 years since then, we haven't even been able to get a hold of her and to even contact her. The number that she gives us is either it's out of order or it's the voice mail isn't working. And we've tried getting a hold of other people that knew her in the past, and they don't have any newer numbers for her either. So one that we're going to recommend that we pull the charter is the pyramid chapter. And I don't know if you want to deal with these one by one, or do you want me to go through all of them first, or what's your...
Let's do one by one.
Okay. So I guess, should I make it in the form of a motion then?
Yes, if you wish.
Okay. I would make a motion that we remove the charter from the pyramid chapter.
Second.
We have several seconds. Do we have any discussion?
How about revoke the charter?
Revoke the charter.
Revoke the charter. Okay. Instead of remove, revoke. Okay. That's fine. That's fine.
Okay. Do we have any discussion? All those in favor of revoking the charter signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Artists. Okay, the second one is the Antelope Valley chapter. They have not been active for the last, they haven't submitted credentials for the last 3 years. And as of about a year and a half ago, their president passed away. They had another active person pass away. And in contacting the main volunteer that had worked with their chapter for years, she said the volunteers are tired of even trying to get it moving. They'd only been having volunteers interested, no blind people. one of the issues, I think, was that the location they were meeting at was in a trailer park, no transportation to it, so they had to have somebody, you know, a driver actually bring people to it. I know Donna and I visited there about, I think, 4 years ago, and we had to have somebody pick us up at the train station and take us over there. And, I mean, there's no way you can get a chapter to get more members when you, you know, don't have transportation. And they said, the volunteer that I had talked to said they even handed out flyers at senior centers and all over, and they just couldn't get any interest at all. So that's the second one I'm going to recommend. Revoking the charter is for the Antelope Valley chapter.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Now, I did have one person contact me from that area who was interested in that chapter, but when I responded by saying they haven't been meeting and that they really need to have somebody start a chapter, she... never got back to me. So obviously, you know, if there was something there, she was willing to go. But that's right. Okay, the next one is the El Dorado chapter. Now there we have some good news. I talk to one of the persons who was active in it before. And she did talk to the previous members, and they are interested in getting that one started again. And they would welcome any assistance from anyone that lives in the area if we can, you know, assist that chapter. The they had to close the blind center that they had started. They couldn't keep that going, and so they sold that. And they were in the process of closing that up and getting rid of all the furniture, so they wanted to wait another month before getting back into the swing. But they do want to work on that one. So I'm recommending that we not revoke the charter right now and see if we can get that one motivated to, you know, become compliant again.
Madam President.
Yes, Jeff.
Thanks. Yes, I thanks, Artis. I too know some of the members in that chapter. In fact, I'm serving on one of them, Ellen, who on the advisory committee for the society, who, because their society is going to take over their services in that catchment area. So I would be happy to help work with that chapter to see if we can't do anything.
Thank you.
Okay, and then the most recent one, the Lakewood chapter, we did vote to accept their charter, and my motion in that regard would be to not give it at this convention, to hold off on that, because there have been some issues there. But I do have the one gal that was in leadership, Michelle is eager to get that chapter going, and she has some possible new members. But since they don't have 10 members at this time, I don't think it's wise to give them their charter at this convention, and they don't have any delegates here.
So what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is to wait and see, since Michelle is willing to move forward with it, just to see if she can get up to the 10 members, and if she can and they can comply by the next convention, then we could give them the charter at the next convention.
Madam President?
Yes, Peter.
Would it make sense to revoke their charter and then reissue their charter?
I guess I wouldn't want to recommend that, because we already told them that we wanted to. And since they didn't, as a chapter, vote to disband, it was just a couple of members that said that they didn't want to move forward with it. And as long as there are other members who want to move forward with it, I don't think we should revoke it, because I think that might discourage them.
Okay.
Any other discussion on that? Gabe.
Yeah, I got it.
I guess my question is, I think we had, if I recall, over the summer we had actually voted to give them a charter.
Right.
And I don't remember the details in the Constitution right now, but I think they had to be out of compliance for at least a couple of conventions before having a charter revoked. So
it's 2 years, I think.
Yeah, so I would agree with the recommendation of not revoking a charter, but you know, I don't even know if they've been out of compliance long enough that we need to even talk about suspending at this point. But I would like to see us maybe monitor the situation with that chapter and revisit it one way or the other at the spring 2014 convention.
Thank you. Any other discussion from board members? Artis, do you have anything else for us?
No, thank you. Appreciate all your suggestions.
Thank you very much. Do we have a motion to... Oh, no, we did motions individually. Okay, thank you.
Should we accept the report?
Do you wish to... Well, you accept it individually,
sure.
But... Okay, if you wish to accept the full report, someone make a motion, please.
I move to accept the... chapter issues report.
Okay. Peter made a motion and Lena seconded. Do we have any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Thank you. The next item on our agenda before public comment is the strategic plan. Folks have heard that the board did work on a strategic plan. The board did get together in June. And as was stated previously, hired Don Wells Consulting, and the board did a lot of great work. There were four goal groups identified. The board, I am actually waiting on, because I didn't see it in my email box, one last revision of timelines from a goal group. So when I received that, the Don Wells Consulting was going to place the revised timelines in our strategic plan document because it is now a long time away since June. So we did ask the board to do revisions. I think once those come forward, there are some items that overlap. Some goal groups have shared, have put similar items, so folks will come together and decide on the timelines of some of these different items. And at this point, I'm hoping that we will be able to have a full report for you at our spring conference and convention. But it is a pretty robust draft. I believe that we will be contacting some of our members as well once the all the timelines and such get into the document so that the board can adopt it and move forward and work with our finance and budget committee as well, because some items will require expenditures and some items will not. Folks will continue to gift more of their time to the council. So when we have something to go before you, we will definitely share it in detail. But folks have been hard at work, and I'm looking forward to seeing what comes forward as we receive all the timelines from the goal groups. So that is pretty much the status of our strategic plan at this point. I don't know if there are any questions from the board or if we can have a motion to accept this update.
I'll make a motion that we accept the update from the strategic plan.
We have a second?
Second.
Robert, second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number 17, do we have any public comment?
One hand.
If anyone wishes to share anything, Ed is coming over to you with a microphone. So, and please state your name.
Hello, this is Vita Zavoli. This is Vita Zavoli, and I have two items. First is the Muttstrut. As part of the Muttstrut report, I understand that this is going to be further analyzed. I suggest two additional items be analyzed. One is how many hundreds of hours members volunteered their time. Because as part of your document that says the board member should work 5 hours a week, I'm telling you there are people on the board who worked on the Muttstrut probably 20 hours a week for 8 months or 9 months, and that is crucial. I think it's really important to understand how much time was volunteered. Secondly, I would look at how many members CCB has and look that and use compare that against how many members actually registered online, how many members actually registered at the event or volunteered their time on a steering committee. Because to me, if you have 500 members, but maybe 20 or 30 are participating, you need to really consider if the mutt strut matters to the members. On my second item is, I appreciate this document that was adopted this evening by the board, which is a list of duties for board members. My concern is that this was not available sooner to candidates who are going into elections tomorrow night. They don't have this document, which to me is a bit unfair. So I strongly think that this should be read prior to elections tomorrow night, so people do actually hear that this was adopted and what they're expected to do. And that this be emailed to each of these people, especially all of the people who were on the candidate page, by tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Next member, please.
This is Frank Welty. I think that the report which we've heard this evening regarding the status of some of our struggling chapters underscores an important area of concern for myself and probably for other members of the council, and that is that we have a significant need for a formal, aggressive process of membership leadership development in this organization. I think that the people of this organization are our greatest resource, and that resource needs to be developed, and if that includes investment of time and finances, then that represents an investment of time and finances well spent.
Thank you. Anyone else?
One more.
Okay.
Abby Truman.
Abby?
Two things. One, I am the only member of the devotional committee who is here. So if anybody, and if you announce it at the general session, if anybody is available that be willing to work with me, I sure could use their help.
I heard that Gussie was coming.
Gussie is coming. I was told
she's listed as a delegate.
Wasn't going to be here.
Kathy told
me
Roger was informed that Gussie Morgan should be here. Is
good,
this,
because I...
As listed as a delegate. So I don't know if she's registered yet or not. Ed is saying no.
Thank God for that. Certainly on the mutt strut. We started out with a minus $5,000. We have some more money coming in. It's down to about $1,000 now. And one of the reasons that L.A. had a problem with participation was the weather. It was 102 degrees in the L.A. region. And I'll tell you, at 102 degrees, I wouldn't want to run. So that might have been part of the cause for our lack of participation.
Thank you. Anyone else? Perfect. Ed has his night roller skates on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Joseph. I want to make a couple of comments. I've been observing the board, and I have to, and listening real well, and I have to say you guys are really doing a good job. Sometimes I feel like the watchdog, but I want to graduate the board and the president. You're doing a good job, and keep it up.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
I don't see any hands.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for coming tonight. Before we adjourn, Ed, did you find someone else? Or? No. Okay. Okay. We have a bag of fudge. We'll do our last door prize of the night. Midnight fudge. Let's have Jean draw. All right, the midnight bag of fudge. No, they'll eat it at midnight. Abe Cassiano? Okay, let's see. We'll draw again. Who do we have?
Karen Smiley.
She's not in the room. Oh, fudge. Oh, you're funny. I love it. Patricia Bogart, are you in the room? Nope. Not in the room. They're like, pick my name, pick my name. Everybody wants the fudge.
Anybody on the board have to share?
Who? Jean Brannon?
Well, how do I know?
Pick Artist Basin. She said she'll give it to me if she wins.
Tammy Stevens.
Let's see.
Connie Cassiano.
Come on.
Pam Metz.
Pam Metz had one of the noisy dogs that probably got up and left. Oh, she didn't get fudge.
Greg Phelps.
Ron Smith. I know he's not in here. It's too quiet. Did I say that?
Charlene Ornelas.
That was another one with a puppy that went out a little earlier. Who do we have?
Sylvia Lopez. How about you just draw board members?
Oh, Vince is saying she was at the welcome party. Paul Patchy Jr.
Nobody got my pun.
What was your pun?
Everybody's waiting in the aisle.
Yeah, somebody else.
Maria Casanova,
where are you?
Yeah, but hers is better because that's her nickname, you know, was on the list.
Oh, sugar.
Sylvia
Robert
Lopez.
Rennie. Oh, that's right.
Robert Rennie.
He left.
Tom Traer.
You have to tell all these people.
Alice McGrath.
Like I say, you draw five more names, and if nobody's here, just give it up.
So Gabe says we draw five more names, and if nobody's here, then I get the fudge? Is that what you said?
Sam
Doherty?
Yeah!
You were paying attention, Sam.
I promise I won't hunt you down. Enjoy your fudge. Peter? Did you? Oh, okay. All right, folks. Thank you very, very much for staying and having the board meeting with us tonight. We will see you tomorrow. And happy, happy, lucky winner who won that fudge. The board meeting, do we have a motion to adjourn? We have several moving and seconding. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay, I make a motion that we have an executive session.
Is anyone? Robert seconds that motion. Okay.
I agree.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Board members, you have 10 minutes to go do what you need to do really quick and then come right on back.